Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
We're going to go now to Dan Ronan in Washington, D.C. Dan, great to have you with us. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you from Washington, D.C., where it's about 19 minutes after 9 o'clock evening on Saturday.
There you go. And we're happy to have you join us today to talk about the issue that a lot of people are looking at around the world, including right here in Singapore, and that is the rollout of vaccines. Of course, the U.S. with its tragic numbers that we've seen as of late in terms of COVID-19 infections and the death rate. But the real challenge here is the rollout of the vaccines, is it not?
It is the real challenge, and it's not going nearly as well as we had hoped for. There's a lot of issues with the distribution. It's not so much, I think, when it comes to the trucking side of it. I mean, the trucking industry and the big companies, the FedEx, DHL, UPS, a couple of smaller companies have distributed about 20 million of the vaccine. But the problem, Glenn, is that it's being distributed to clinics and other places like that, and that's where we're really getting into the bottleneck. As you said so well at the beginning of the interview, that we're having a terrible another wave here in the States with COVID vaccine, and the medical system is stretched well beyond expectations of what anyone thought it could ever handle.
Yeah.
And we've got a situation where the doctors and the nurses and the EMTs and everybody that would normally be distributing vaccine, they're trying to care for people and keep them alive as more and more people get sick. So what has happened is that the big pharmaceutical chains, CVS and Walgreens, Duane Reade and others, are being brought into this. And they're having to train their employees. Walmart is training thousands of their employees how to administer shots. I mean, that's not the job of a Walmart associate to administer shots, but they're learning.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see some success in rolling out the vaccine into hospitals, into clinics. I should tell you that my son and daughter-in-law are both frontline nurses at a level one trauma center in Dallas. On the front lines of COVID in an ICU. And they both have gotten their first shot, got it a couple of days after the vaccine arrived, but they're one of 6 million. And as you said, there's more than 330 million of us in this country.
Yeah.
And that means we've got maybe 1.5%. We've got a long way to go.
Yeah, talking with Dan Ronan, of course, the associate editor and anchor at Sirius XM. Those of you that don't know.
And I also say I'm also with the Yeah. I'm also with Transport Topics, ttnews.com. That's my full-time job. And then we do a radio show on Sirius XM on Channel 146. We do a radio show on that. So I actually have two jobs.
Excellent. Thanks, Dan, for correcting me on that. Transport Topics. And Dan, you know, when initially the Trump administration talked about rolling out the vaccine, of course, it was developed in record time, and due credit goes to many people that were working so hard on that in the Trump administration and also at the pharmaceutical companies. But they were talking initially about being able to administer a million doses a day, more or less from the beginning of the year, to get to that 300 plus million, you know, by the end of 2021. Clearly, we're not going to make that. Are there any estimates or best guesses as to what those numbers might look like in the next half a year or, you know, through the fall? Do they know? Do they
well,
projection?
The incoming Biden administration says, using the old FDR analogy back to the Franklin Roosevelt, that they want to get 100 million vaccinated in 100 days. That's the incoming Biden administration. But as you know, Glenn, we're in this kind of weird period in American politics where...
kind of weird, yeah. That's an understatement.
I live in Washington, D.C. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
We have one administration that is leaving. You have people in the administration who are, for one reason or another, leaving government. They're leaving, looking for work. They're out interviewing. They're resigning because of what happened here. That we all saw the other day. We've had a number of high-level resignations. So there's been a hollowing out effect of government. That always happens every 4 years or every 8 years when a new administration comes into town.
Mm.
The old leaves, and, you know, some people hang around and they finish up But we have a lot of people who are leaving, and that's made it even more difficult, that a lot of these real key positions that are the folks that make the levers, you know, they move the levers and everything in government, they've left. So you've got a smaller government footprint. You've got the private sector trying to handle it. And it's going to be a slow, hard slog. I think once Biden gets in office here in a little less than two weeks, I think we'll see a ramping up. They've had 60 days now since they've won the election to get a plan in place, and they've got people, key people already designated for these jobs. I think we'll see it ramp up, but it's going slow. And to your credit, though, the pharmaceutical industry has done a magnificent job coming up with not just one, but with, you know, four or five vaccines that have all proven to be effective at a high level, 95%, 94.5%. So they're all doing a really great job, but we need to get this moving, and we need to get this rolled out, and we need to get these, we need to get people vaccinated, because we're losing. We lost 4,000 people, 4,000 people yesterday in this country in terms of dying from COVID. That's just, it's off the charts.
Talking with Dan Ronan, associate news editor at Transport Topics and anchor at Sirius FM as well, Sirius XM, excuse me, as well. Dan, the last mile is always the challenge, is it not, for most transport challenges that people face? And why, I guess, is it easy to understand where the breakdown happened in this? You know, initially, like you said, they were saying, hey, the Walmarts and the pharmacies, the Walgreens, can administer these vaccinations, which, of course, is ludicrous when you think about how many people need to have that done and the fact that these are other businesses where they do other things and not medical centers. Is there any indication why we're at where we're at right now, where the breakdown happened?
Remember, let's go back to the it seems like those days of yesteryear. Let's go back to March and April here in the United States, when the biggest concern was that hospitals and medical clinics weren't getting personal protective equipment. This seems like a rerun of that same story, that the governor of Maryland, in the state that I live in, was negotiating with the government of South Korea to get a shipment of personal protective equipment from Seoul to Baltimore.
Right.
And, you know, Governor Hogan here did that and got masks and face shields and those sort of things to hospitals in Baltimore and Annapolis and, around the state of Maryland. It feels like the same type of problem, that the states, each state is sovereign. Each state sets up their own rules. The state of Florida is using an event company called Eventbrite to schedule reservations to get testing.
Right.
Eventbrite is a company that does tickets for concerts. It's like a Ticketmaster it's a ticket vendor.
We use it here. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you want to see Steely Dan in concert? Right. You go on Eventbrite and you find out what hall they're going to be at.
Yeah.
And you drop your $45 for the concert and you go see the show. So they're using Eventbrite to schedule the vaccine at the public grocery store or Walgreens or CVS, whatever that is. So that's what they've set up. So state of Florida's got one set of rules. State of Alabama's got another. State of Maryland's got another. State of Wisconsin has got another. So you've got this rollout where each governor, each state does their own thing. Each health commissioner is doing their thing. There's not the uniformity from Washington, in part because the government's hollowed out. We're in this weird transition period between governments. We've got a new administration coming in.
Yeah.
And, it is what it is. And it's not going as well, nearly as well as everybody had hoped.
Yeah, the daunting, right, when you look at the numbers involved and the geographic dispersion. And also the fact that there are still a lot of Americans who, A, don't believe that there is a coronavirus pandemic right now, or B, are anti-vaccination, anti-vaxxers, as they call them, people that will not take a vaccination, to C, people that might take a vaccination, but they're not sure that this particular one is safe yet. So, you know, does there seem to be any, I know this is not necessarily in your transport milieu, but is there any effort to sort of get over those particular hurdles as well?
Well, I think you're starting to see that, you know, the public opinion on the vaccine is changing in the way that is being supported by the medical community. And I think as more people get vaccinated and you don't hear stories about people getting sick or having issues with, you know, allergic reactions or anaphylactic shock, things like that, I think you'll see that they'll become more confident that in the vaccine. And, you know, the numbers have changed a little bit. You know, Dr. Fauci and the others were talking about, you know, 75% at one time in terms of being vaccinated. Now they're saying it needs to be a little higher. Mm-hmm. I think once you get to 75-80% vaccination, in which they think they can do by summertime, that those who are, you know, the last ones to get vaccinated, they'll probably come along because they'll see that it's working.
Right.
And also, you don't want to be the last. Who wants to be the last person to get sick and die from COVID?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like the last person to be killed in a war, right? You don't want to be that person. So, totally get that. When you look at the actual transportation of these, for example, the Pfizer BioNTech needs to be transferred and kept, you know, in a very certain cold condition, for example. We already saw in Wisconsin the hoodie that you have on. One of the pharmacists there was on purpose, apparently, letting the vaccine go bad because he didn't believe in it. In terms of the transport, though, is there the capability to keep these vaccines safe and active as they await their final destination with whomever they are going to be injected into?
I think there is, and I think the logistics companies, DHL, UPS, FedEx, and the others have done a really good job of figuring this out. I've talked with both officials at UPS, Wes Wheeler, who's the head of UPS's healthcare division, and Larry St. Ange, who's the head of DHL's healthcare and medical division. And both of them said that when this started in the springtime, they started thinking about ways to distribute the vaccine.
Nice.
Back in May. They had their first meeting. And they knew that in the case of the Pfizer vaccine, that it was going to be, had to be transported at extremely cold temperatures, 90 degrees below zero. The same temperature, to put that into perspective, what it's like on a really bad day at the South Pole. So they knew they were going to have to ramp up the distribution and the production of dry ice.
Yeah.
So UPS is now producing thousands of pounds of dry ice well beyond anything that they had to do before. And these companies are really good at transporting pharmaceuticals. I had a chance a couple of years ago to visit DHL's cold storage facility at Chicago O'Hare.
Hmm.
And we, both of us being Chicago guys, we know where that is.
Yep.
It's off of Toohey Avenue.
Yep.
And I had a chance to tour that. And it's a remarkable 500,000-square-foot facility, and they've got the place segregated with coldest type of freezer units, and they figured it out. So I think the logistics pros at these companies and the healthcare pros who've been doing these type of things now for 25, 30 years, I think they've got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But the hang-up seems to be in that last 4 or 5 miles and then at the stores. And in the case of the Pfizer vaccine, what's complicated about is that once they start, you know, once they take that vaccine out of the super cold storage, it spoils. It doesn't have a real high shelf life.
Yeah,
4 or 5 days.
The clock is running.
So you got to use it.
Yeah.
You got to use it real quick and get it implemented. You got to get people, you know, vaccinated, or the vaccine goes bad. And we're not in a position where we can waste a drop of this.
Sure. Sure. It's a daunting project. It's good to hear, though, that some of those organizations, you know, you mentioned DHL and others were working on this for, you know, the past year or not quite year, but at least they were thinking about it and trying to put stuff into a plan of some sort. Now, as you say, though, the challenge is that last little bit of getting it into somebody's arm is really proving to be the challenge. And now with the change of administration, I would imagine that it's going to be another month or so at least before we can really see this get ramped up, maybe more, right?
Well, again, you know, Mr. Biden and his team have had they've had 60 days to work on a plan, and they've been very, you know, as recently as yesterday when he held his news conference up in Wilmington. You know, he said, we're going to get this thing rolled out. You know, this is going to be priority one.
Mm.
We've got to get this done. So I think that, you know, c- come, you know, the first morning they go to work or the night that they go to work on the 20th of January, they're going to be on the phone, they're going to be working and trying they can, as hard as they can, to get this done as quickly as they can. Because our economy over here, we had a terrible jobs report yesterday. You know, economy lost a pretty significant amount of jobs. You know, unemployment is still pretty high. Millions of people are fortunate, like myself, to work from home, but I haven't been in my office in 10 months. Mm. And not likely I'll be going there anytime soon. I mean, we can do it, but truck drivers, the grocery store clerks, the others, they don't have that luxury of being able to work from home. I do.
Yeah.
You know, I have a, like you, I've got a studio here at the house, yeah. and I can do my print and my online stuff and my radio and television stuff from here.
Yeah.
But if you're a grocery store worker or if you drive a truck, an 18-wheeler, you're not working from home. You're working from your office at the store in the truck.
Yeah. Dan, a real pleasure to talk with you today. Thanks so much for filling us in on what's happening with the vaccine in the U.S. Yeah, exactly. Dan's the associate news editor of Transport Topics and also an anchor at Sirius FM. Thanks again, Dan. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Glenn.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.